This morning we're reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. If you have your Bibles and would like to follow along, we'll begin reading in verse 1 of Mark, chapter 4. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. As you turn there, I remind you that we believe the Bible to be the Word of God. It is inerrant. It is our only infallible rule of faith and practice. And though the grass withers and the flowers fade away, the Word of our God will stand forever. Mark, chapter 4. We're looking at verses 1 to 20 this morning. I'm going to read verses 1 to 12. Beginning in verse 1, hear the word of the Lord. Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell among the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprung up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil, and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears, let him hear." When he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from your mouth. And Lord, we ask this morning that you would make us hungry for this heavenly food, that it would nourish us in the ways of eternal life through Jesus Christ, who is the bread of heaven. Amen. You'll remember if you were here last Sunday, it had been a long day for Jesus. A long day emotionally, a long day physically. Because of the crowds, Mark noted that he was not able to eat. Because of the crowds, Mark noted that he was almost crushed to death and had to have a boat at the ready to get away. And then you remember his mother and his brothers. They arrive from Nazareth and they're there to stage a family intervention. They think he's crazy. And they want to arrest him, forcibly take him back to Nazareth. And then the scribes. The scribes are accusing him, same day, of being in league with Satan. And all of this is happening in the context of a exhausting day of preaching and teaching. Remember, that's Jesus' primary calling. That's what he's doing again and again, according to Mark. He's preaching and he's teaching to the masses. And here again in our passage, we see the masses. Look at verse 1. Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him. You remember the boat that he had at the ready to prevent him from being crushed to death? Well, now the crowd seemed to be at their all-time high, tens of thousands. And he's having to use the boat. He's in the boat on the Sea of Galilee, and he's sitting. You can picture the crowds of Jews and Gentiles, the bank sloping up. And they're all there listening as Jesus sits on the boat, calling out parables about the kingdom. Now, Jesus is fully aware as he looks at this crowd of tens of thousands, there's all kinds of people there. There's all kinds of different responses there. All kinds of different understandings, different levels of hearing, different motivations in the crowd that are before him. Some are coming to faith, repenting, believing. Others, most, are hardening in their hearts and their unbelief. Some are there to repent and believe. Others will never repent and believe. Some are there to hear the teachings of Christ, the primary reason he came, to hear the message of the kingdom. You hear the message to repent and believe. Others, most, are there for the miracles. But his mission is to preach, and his mission is to call you and to call me to repent, to believe. And so he gives a parable outlining just that. And the parable is an agricultural parable. This would be very familiar to people in the ancient world, but like so many of Jesus' parables, it's familiar to us. You don't have to be a farmer really to understand the concept of sowing and reaping. You have a man with a seed bag and it's tied around his waist and he's walking through the field and he's casting seed. And it's a pretty simple story. The sower scatters the seed. Some falls on the roadside. Some falls on the rocky soil. Some falls on the thorns. Some falls on the good soil. And you have various results. That's the end of the parable. It says verse 9, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. It's for everyone. The parable is for everyone that will hear it. Teaching you about the kingdom of God, I'm giving you a concrete earthy metaphor so that you can understand it. And for he who has ears to hear, she who has ears to hear, let him hear. But we see not everyone had ears to hear it. In fact, even some of his own followers were baffled by this. We read in verse 10, when he was alone, those around him with the 12, that is the apostles, and others, other disciples. Remember, he's called a lot of disciples, and he has his 12 apostles. Even some of the apostles came and asked, what does this mean? What does this mean? And he's very gracious to provide an explanation, verses 13 through 20. The seed, of course, is a symbol of God's word. It's a wonderful symbol of God's word. It says in verse 14, the sower sows the word. So the seed is the word of God. Who's the sower? Well, primarily the sower is Jesus. He's the one that's sowing the word. He's the one that's sowing the parables. But it's anybody. Anybody that sows God's word. We all have opportunities to sow God's word. It's the mother. It's the father. It's the co-worker. It's the opportunities that we have to share the word of God. It's a Sunday school teacher. What's the soil? Well, he explains. The soil represents the various conditions of human hearts upon which the seed is tossed. And he identifies four kinds, beginning in verse 15. The first soil, the road, the hard heart. Verse 15, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. Fields in Palestine were typically long, narrow strips of land, and they were divided by pathways. Pathways where farmers could walk, pathways where animals of labor could trod. And as you can imagine, foot traffic, animal traffic, over time the pathways would become as hard as asphalt and the seeds cast on them would just bounce away. Wouldn't sprout. Birds would come and eat them. I think of weddings. When you attend a wedding, it's become fashionable to throw bird seed instead of rice in recent years. So the wedding scene of the bride and groom coming out of the church, and people are throwing the bird seed and it just bounces all over the concrete. And it's gone by the next day. The birds come and get it and they take it away. These beaten paths are representative of hard hearts that are impervious to the word of God. Hard hearts that have been beaten by the busyness of life, the comings and goings of life, the traffic of life that has hardened them to the point that God's word will not even stir them, not even penetrate them. Maybe they're hostile, actively antagonistic toward the faith, or maybe they're just completely indifferent. But the point is, their heart is hardened to the word of God. This is the person that sees life as no more than sports and beer and movies and concerts and Facebook and you fill in the blank, work. This is the heart that finds all of its meaning and purpose and quest for happiness in the things of this world. It doesn't care about eternity. The idea here is busyness, people who beat the ground of their life to asphalt. And it's a warning. The parable is a warning. We're to look at these soils and look at our own hearts and ask ourselves, where are we in this parable? You're somewhere. You're somewhere in this parable. Do you make time for Bible reading? Do you make time for reflection? Do you make time for prayer? Do you make time for the means of grace that God has given to us to be receptive to His word? to be blessed by it and to grow in it and to produce fruit. A hard heart does not. A hard heart is a heart on which seed bounces, and the birds, which in the parable is Satan, devours it. He identifies a second kind of soil here. Verse 16. Look at verse 16. These are the ones sown on rocky ground. So you first have the hard ground. Here we have the rocky ground. The ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And take you back to Palestine again. Most of Palestine is limestone bedrock. Limestone bedrock, and it's covered with a thin veneer of soil, maybe 2 to 3 inches in most places. That's not ideal for farming. That's not ideal for growing. And what Jesus is describing here is seed, the word, that falls and it sprouts, but the soil is shallow. And when the sun beats down and the roots hit the bedrock that's 2 to 3 inches deep, the plant withers and it dies. And of course, we've known people like this. You know people like this. How many times have you seen this? Someone who has an initial emotional response to Christ, an initial excitement. Maybe they walk an aisle, they pray a prayer, they sign a card, attend a rally, a youth camp. They have an exciting emotional response to Christ, but then when the heat of life comes, it turns out to be shallow. When the heat of life comes, it turns out that it never really penetrated the heart. Got to the emotional level, but it never really penetrated the heart and the mind and the soul. The afflictions and storms of life come and they wither. I've noticed two responses in people who claim Christ as their Savior when hard times come. I mean hard times. Some of you are experiencing it now. If you're not, you will. Or you have, and you will again. That's life. When hard times come, there tend to be two responses. One is like this, the shallow heart, that it flees from Christ. It drives them away. They get angry. They get bitter. They blame God. But for the person that the Word of God has truly penetrated, and it has gotten into their mind, into their heart, into their soul, it drives them closer to God. And their faith stands. It perseveres. That's a real test. That's a real test. I think of a lot of what we do from week to week to week as we gather together to worship and to sit under the Word of God. We are preparing our hearts. We are preparing the soil of our soul for when those hard times come so that we don't turn out to be the heart that is shallow. I found a great quote from Helmut Thielicke, quoting on this passage in Mark. He says, there is nothing more cheering. Get this. There is nothing more cheering than transformed Christian people. Isn't that the truth? There's nothing more cheering than transformed Christian people. And there is nothing more disintegrating than people who have been merely brushed by Christianity. That's what Christ is describing here. People have just been merely brushed by Christianity. Just gotten a little exciting brush of it. People who have been sown with 1,000 seeds, but in whose lives there is no depth and no rootage. No rootage. Does your faith have rootage? Therefore, they fall when the first whirlwind comes along. It is the half-Christians who always flop in the face of first catastrophe that happens, because their dry intellectuality and their superficial emotionalism do not stand the test. Boy, that's sobering to think about. What's the condition of your soul's soil? Do you have a faith that will endure affliction? Well, there's a third kind of faith that our soil that Jesus speaks of here. This is the thorny soil. So the first soil is the road, the asphalt, the hard heart. The second soil is the rocky places, the shallow heart. You have the hard heart, you have the shallow heart. Look at this third kind, verse 18. He says, and others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Oh, this is the self-indulgent heart. You have the hard heart, you have the shallow heart, here you have the self-indulgent heart. Here the seed begins to sprout, but the thorn bushes and the weeds begin to choke it out, so that it never fully develops, it never produces fruit. And Jesus says those thorns, those bushes, represent the cares of the world, the riches of the world, the things of the world, stuff. It's a danger of the divided heart. It's like the heart of the girl who received a proposal from the young man. The young man came to the girl and said, I'm not rich. I don't have a big house. I don't have a yacht. I don't have a fancy car. I don't have any of the stuff that Johnny Phillips has. But I love you with all of my heart, and I want you to be my wife. And she paused for a moment, and she said, I love you with all of my heart. But can you tell me a little bit more about this Johnny Phillips? This is the heart that is overcome for a love of riches and the things of this world. And that's not a believing heart. It's the heart that says, I love Christ, but the life that demonstrates otherwise. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Many begin well. They look like they're believers, but they love the world, they love money, they love fame, they love worrying about what to buy, worrying about what to collect. They love worrying about worrying. And all of that strangles out any vestiges of faith, just like thorny weeds. So Jesus warns about the hard heart. He warns about the shallow heart. He warns about the self-indulgent heart. And then fourthly, verse 20, but those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. That's the good soil. The good soil. It produces healthy growth. It produces much fruit. This is where the seed of God does not bounce off. It doesn't just have an emotional flourish that disappears when the hardness of life comes. It doesn't take a little bit of root and then is divided and killed by the competing desires of life that strangle. This is the heart that allows God's word to take deep root and to grow and to flourish and produce a rich, bountiful crop, the fruit of obedience, the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of good works, the fruit of character. So what's the point of the parable? This is one of the most complex parables of Jesus. And there's a lot of things going on here. But I think fundamentally, what Jesus is conveying here is it's all about the soil. It's all about your heart. It's all about my heart. Everything depends on the state of the heart. And so that begs the real question, what makes good soil good? What makes good soil good? What makes the good heart good? I want that. How do I get that? I think it's very tempting. Very tempting. To read into this. That the seed cannot take root unless the one who hears it is a good person. And that is the exact opposite of the point of the parable. Being a good person does not make good soil. In fact, Jesus explains this back in verse 11. This is one of the hard sayings of Jesus. He said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." This parable is really about God's sovereignty. You can't escape that. It has nothing to do with you making your soil good. Jesus is saying this is about the sovereignty of God. Why does one person receive it in his heart and another person reject it in his heart? The answer to that is not because I was good enough, or I was smart enough, or I was righteous enough, or I was more holy than the next guy, or smarter than the next guy, or more perceptive than the next guy, or I have a little bit more wisdom than the next guy. It's none of that. Christ is making the clear point here that the good soil is good not because the person's heart is good. The good soil is good because of the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. That's the only thing that can make the soil good. That's the only thing that can make the soil receptive. Those who embrace the Word of God in this fourth way, the full way, the fruitful way, are those who have been changed by the Holy Spirit, making them able to receive it. That is the testimony of the Scripture, and I would be willing to bet that that's your own testimony if you know Christ, if you're really honest about it. I know my heart is wickedly deceitful, and I know that I would not embrace Christ by faith on my own. It has to be a work of the Holy Spirit. There's no other explanation for it. No other explanation for it. The Holy Spirit has to change a person's heart so that he will repent and believe and follow after Jesus. He prepares the soil. He prepares the heart. And that's what we mean when we say salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. So what does that mean? Let me give you two practical responses to this. The first is, if salvation is of the Lord, if making the soil of your heart fruitful is a work of the Lord, we need to ask God to give us a fruitful heart. That's a great prayer. That's a great prayer if you know Christ. Lord, continue to make my heart receptive. Continue to make my heart good soil where the word will grow a rich harvest. That's a great prayer if you don't know Jesus Christ. I know there's someone in this room this morning that has no idea what I'm talking about. When I speak of the Holy Spirit softening your heart and coming to Christ in faith and repentance, ask him to show you. That's what the parable, that's what Christ is saying there, verses 11 and 12. Look, the parable is truth. I cast the parable as wide as I can so everyone can hear it. And there's truth in that. And if you want to learn more, come to me and ask. That's exactly what the disciples did. They came and they asked, explain this to us. We want to know about your word and we want to grow in it. Found a great quote from Matt Chandler this week. When God saves you, he doesn't do it because you gave him permission. He does it because he is God. When God saves you, he doesn't do it because you give him permission. He does it because he is God. Let's acknowledge that. Let's turn to him. Let's ask him to give us hearts of good soil. And a second point, a practical response to this parable. This should encourage us to keep sowing. Keep sowing. There's a fifth soil that Jesus doesn't mention in this parable. He gives us four. There's a fifth one he doesn't mention that we could add to it. What about the soil that never receives any seed to begin with? We've got to keep sowing. We never know what kind of soil we're going to find. We never know what kind of response it's going to get. We sow seed, we get surprises. Sometimes we get wonderful surprises, sometimes we get nasty surprises. But we keep sowing the seed because we know we are called to sow. And then the success is in the hands of the Father. We'll see that especially in the parable of the seed growing in verse 20, 6, Lord willing. We trust God for the outcome. Father in heaven, we thank you for the teachings of Christ. We thank you for this picturesque parable that shows to us in such a succinct and compelling way the condition of the human heart. And Father, believing this, trusting in this, learning from this, we do ask that you would give us hearts of good soil. You are the heart physician. You alone can fix the hard heart, the shallow heart, the self-indulgent heart. Recreate our hearts, Father, that they would be good soil, fruitful hearts. And Lord, in turn, encourage us and renew our commitment to the sowing of your word. May it never return void. May we cast it as wide as we have opportunity. May we seize every opportunity to sow your word and to trust in you for the outcome, and then to give you all glory and honor and credit and praise. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.